Blog Talk Radio.
Bullet Club.
Well, welcome everyone to this week's episode of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. I am the Stallion, as I'm being called. But we're just waiting for the other guys to join in on the line, so I'm kind of getting things kick-started here. It's Thursday night, and I'm unfortunately nothing better on TV to watch than SmackDown right now, so that's what we got on. But we got a lot of wrestling news happening this week, and I think we got Mikey on the line. Are you there, pal?
I'm here, buddy. I was on hold, and the show was starting, and I said, please hold. Your show is about to start. So I sit here. I wait. I hear silence, and then I hear the good old doot-doot-doot-doot-doot, like Blog Talk Radio hung up on me. So I've fought against the man, Joe, and I've made it back to Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. Sounds like, as usual, the interwebs are giving us some trouble, but, you know, we'll overcome. That's what we do, you know. We overcome all the obstacles to bring the wrestling news each and every week.
Yeah, it's a good point. And normally, before a show or during a show, I would send out the link everywhere, and I would put the phone number out. And, you know, sometimes we get callers, sometimes we don't, because we want people to call in. Today, Joe, nobody is calling into this show, because for the next however long you've programmed this, maybe 45 minutes, maybe 60 minutes, this guy is turning heel.
Oh, on me or just in general? Or because I just want to prepare myself.
Oh, no. I would never, never turn heel on the Stallion. I'm turning heel this week on pro wrestling.
Okay, just in general. Okay, I understand. This seems like there's a lot of heat. There's a lot of heat between you and pro wrestling right now. So maybe we should just get right into it then.
I'm 100% with you. Could we start with the positive? Let's just start with a quick Wrestle Kingdom 10 recap.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I'll start with some positive. I'm good with that.
You know, we got a chance thanks to New Japan Pro Wrestling World. Me, you, BK, and The Natural, we got a chance to watch some of Wrestle Kingdom 10 the other day. And, BK had asked me my predictions earlier in the day, and I went 5 for 6 on them. The only one I missed out on was AJ Styles. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of wrestling, so I don't want to, you know, waste too much time on this. But, you know, the matches we watch together are the only matches that I watch. I don't watch any of the other ones. But it was the tag team match was good. I thought it was good for what it was worth. It was, I don't want to say unspectacular, but I feel like maybe Ricochet and Sydal didn't gel with those teams like I thought they would. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think it was, I mean, at least on a major show, probably the first time that they were in the mix with those teams, right? I mean, I don't watch New Japan religiously, but from the big shows, they haven't really been involved in that feud for too long, so. Maybe they were just kind of
won the World Tag League over there, so that was really what bumped them up. And you know, it wasn't a bad match by any stretch of the imagination. I thought it was a good match. It just wasn't what I was used to seeing from those teams.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, and I know that they've been running a lot of different combinations of matches with those teams, and you know, a couple of the different teams in the mix here and there. But I almost feel like in this situation, like at this point, it might be better just to have, you know, a straight up tag match rather than a 3-way or a 4-way. Maybe that'll just allow the teams to do more. And I don't know. I know when there's more teams in there, you can get more exciting with a lot of different high spots because there's so many different guys. But sometimes, like when you have just Red Dragon and the Bucks or something like that, maybe it gives those two teams a little more opportunity to work in more stuff and might just be a better match overall. So maybe the next time they do one of their major shows, they'll have just a straight up tag match. Maybe it'll be a little bit more smooth. But I mean, not that this match was bad at all. Like you said, it was solid. It just, you know, we've seen better matches from those teams in different combinations before.
Yeah, and you know, I think you make a great point about the traditional tag match. And I mean, through no fault of their own, we've expected so much of that match because they've delivered every single time. So, you know, for them not to put on a five-star classic for one event, it's, you know, it's not going to kill me, but I'm still going to look forward to all their matches going forward. But I think you're right. I think they needed just a traditional tag match would have been good. But, I mean, you know, it's the first of the new year, and as you and I have found out, this is the least of our problems, Joe.
Oh, you got that right.
After this, I mean, I don't think we watched too much. I think we saw the end of the Kushida Omega match, so I really don't want to speculate on it. I think Kushida going over was the right call because of how crazy over Kushida's been, and obviously it led to some bigger things. From there, we saw bits and pieces of the Lethal Elgin match. Seemed like a pretty good match to me. Really what I expected. I was half expecting Elgin to go over, then I thought about it more, and I think if Ring of Honor is really going to be doing shows in Japan, they would probably want to feature Lethal by having him get a win over somebody who's already over in Japan.
Right. Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. It makes sense. Like you said, I think ROH is going to be looking to do some level of shows or a tour in Japan, so it was probably just a showcase, and like you said, featuring Elgin, who had kind of gotten himself a bit of a reputation as being well received by the fans in Japan is not a bad spot for them to put him. But I guess it was just an exhibition in a sense for Lethal to kind of have a solid title match against the guy that Japan was familiar with, and then he got himself over a little bit more.
Yeah, no harm, no foul, a good solid match. I'm drawing a blank. And next was next, I guess, would have been. Oh, we watched the end of the Briscoes and Yano versus the Bullet Club. That went pretty much like I thought it would. And I think the Briscoes were super hot. I think they got a great response over there. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I thought they were too. I don't know how many times they've worked over there, if at all. Seemed like it's not as much as some of the other guys in ROH. But, when watching the sports parts of the match that we did, they seemed like they were getting a good reaction. That was for the new like six-man tag championships, right? I think that was the inaugural match for the titles, and they ended up winning it, right? So I guess they'll be back over there at some point to defend those things.
Also makes me wonder if they're going to do anything where that title can get defended in Ring of Honor. I think that'd be pretty cool. I think BK brought that up.
Yeah, it's a good point. I didn't think of that. I wouldn't be surprised if they did do that. And maybe had some of those titles on the line at ROH shows in the United States.
No offense to Toru Yano, but I can't imagine him having a huge impact over here in America right now. And frankly, I'm just shocked that the Briscoes got a visa.
That they were allowed to leave the country.
I'm surprised they were allowed to leave Sandy Ford, Delaware. That led us into Nakamura versus AJ. The two main event matches, Nakamura versus AJ Styles and Okada versus Tanahashi. I think we kind of expected the outcomes of both of these. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like Styles as much as anybody, but felt like this was just a spot where Nakamura would win and keep his title, and he did. From what we saw of that match, I thought it was really good. Obviously at this point, I don't think either of those guys has had a bad match in a while, at least not that I've seen, certainly not AJ Styles. So they seem to work pretty well together. And Nakamura beat him with, I think he hit his finisher a couple of times on Styles, right, to get that win?
Yeah, he finished it with, I actually watched that match again today, because my man Jay walked into the gym this morning, and there he is behind the counter watching Wrestle Kingdom 10, watching Nakamura versus AJ Styles. So I hung out with him and get to watch a match again before I went to work today. And felt right, Joe. Felt like all was right in the world there, for sure. He actually, with the Bulma Ye, and he hit it from behind. Styles on his knees, and he hit him in the back of the head. It was a pretty brutal finish to a pretty good match back and forth. They got a lot of time. And you give Nakamura and AJ Styles 20, 25 minutes, I don't care where you are, they're going to put on a great match. So That's for sure what they did.
Yep, absolutely. And then what did you think of the main event? I think it was, from what I understand, right, the whole the deal there is that Okada's had issues, or not issues, or just he hasn't been able to beat Tanahashi at a Wrestle Kingdom show, correct? This was the first time that he was able to do that.
Yep, that was a big payoff, and you know it was a slow burn. You know, I think it was good booking to get. You know, I expected Okada to get the win. I did not think they were going to put Tanahashi over again, and you know they call him the New Japan Cena, right? For a reason.
Yeah, that's my understanding of it. Yes, but yeah, I like Okada. We got to see him wrestle in person last summer in Brooklyn. So. Yeah, I think he's a little younger than Tanahashi. Probably maybe hasn't been on top as long. But, you know, like you said, they had a really good match. They had one last year as well. And I was glad to see that Okada got to get the win this time. And I'm not sure where they're going to go from there with him and the title, but I'm kind of glad that he won it and he has it, because I think he's a really talented wrestler.
I agree. And, you know, nothing bad to say about Tanahashi either. He was a good champion. They told a good story with him winning the G1 Climax. So I really liked the card. I liked it top to bottom, and you know it was good wrestling matches. The main event got like 30. I think it was 38 minutes, 40 minutes. So
yeah, it was appreciate a long one, but
pro wrestling fan.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I guess that covers the Wrestle Kingdom show, which was a good, you know, good solid show. And
can we,
you know,
can we cut here, Joe? Can we not talk about anything else?
I think really everybody is waiting to hear, you know, your thoughts on the news of the week. So I'll go ahead and state what that news is that was breaking on Monday night as we were watching some of the Wrestle Kingdom matches, and then, you know, kind of segued into fast forwarding through Monday Night Raw. And then I'm going to lay out, and I'll let you, you know, react to it and give your thoughts on everything. So,
hey Joe, do you have a speaker button?
No, I don't have any fancy controls over here. So we're gonna have to. This is all live. It's live radio. So we're gonna see how this all plays out. So the news that was breaking Monday night was that AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, and then Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows of the Bullet Club had all agreed, or I don't know what the exact state of the situation is, but they had all in some form agreed to leave New Japan and go to the WWE. So there's been some speculation in terms of where those guys are going to wind up, whether it's NXT or the main roster, and then when that'll actually happen. Nakamura is the IWGP Intercontinental Champ right now. Gallows and Anderson just lost the heavyweight tag titles at Wrestle Kingdom. Styles, you know, we can jump to that a little bit later, but the following night the Bullet Club turned on him and kind of kicked him out. So that all kind of fuels the speculation that those guys are going to wind up in WWE sooner rather than later. Obviously, there's, you know, the positive effect for WWE and getting those guys, and the negative effect for New Japan and to ROH to some extent as well, because I know Styles and some of the New Japan guys are doing spots for them as well. So that's the deal as far as what happened, and some details are coming out slowly about that during the course of the week. And I'm going to let you go ahead, buddy, because I know you got some passionate and strong opinions on this. So I'm going to let you go ahead and give your thoughts on it.
Hey, I hate this movie.
How can you hate It's a Wonderful Life?
Because it's a horrible life.
There you go, Joe. That's that's how I feel. Watching, listening to, being told what was going on. I'll try to keep this. I got to enjoy Wrestle Kingdom 10 with The Stallion, The Natural, and The Nature Boy. All four of us got to watch the show. It was good. At the end of the show, BK himself, Nature Boy, could not wait to tell me the news. Apparently, while I was in the kitchen, he had told The Natural what had happened during the day. And so everybody knew except for me, because I was staying away from the internet. Were you privy to this information, Joe?
So he mentioned it to me while, you, like you said, while you were in the kitchen or in another room. He brought it up to me and Kerry. We were concerned, you know, about how, you know, we didn't want you to get upset. So he mentioned it. And then, you know, later on, like you said, he divulged the information to you. So then we were all in the know.
All right. I really don't even know where to begin. The WWE is bastardizing the sport of professional wrestling. Signing Shinsuke Nakamura solely for the fact that the WWE Network is now available in Japan to make him the face of the network is a slap in the face of everybody who enjoys watching him compete in a ring. That's one for him. AJ Styles is not big enough physically to make it to the main card and be a legitimate threat, in my mind. I'm not saying I don't agree with that at all. I think AJ Styles is the best in-ring performer, you know, top five right now, period. But judging by what you've got going on, I don't know, Vince is going to, you know, how Vince feels about it. He's not going to be a Vince McMahon guy. He's not going to be a Triple H guy. But what they said is both Nakamura and AJ are going to skip NXT and go right to the main roster. Both destined for just complete failure. Karl Anderson and Doc Gallows, I really don't feel one way or the other about their signing. It was obvious Karl Anderson got in amazing shape and good for him watching Wrestle Kingdom. But this reminds me all too much of Gallows, of course, was in the WWE. He was part of the Strange Society. He was Cousin Festus, who was drugged. I literally couldn't even write this. And then CM Punk found him, fixed him, and then he was a big badass kind of guy. And then he went to TNA, and he really found it. He found his niche in Japan. And then they're going to bring him back, and they're going to make him part of the Bullet Club. It really worked well for Tensai, Albert, when he went to Japan and he came back and they made him Lord Tensai after being Giant Bernard and killing it over there and come back and just being an absolute joke. So I can't imagine if you're going to bring over the Bullet Club name, good luck. I don't know how you do that. I thought they were trademarked by New Japan. You could bring them over as the Balor Club or... I don't know where it's going to go, Joe. I can tell you I have very, very low hopes for the whole the deal. It's a business move, and I think it's a business move done to get a stranglehold on independent wrestling. I really do. Now you have Finn Balor, you know, teasing online about him bringing over his friends, and then you have the Dudleys holding up a shirt today of the Bullet Club and saying we're ready for you and whatnot. I don't see anything good coming out of it, considering a year ago the WWE had a lawsuit against the Bullet Club for using the trademark Too Sweet and the crotch chop and all these things. So now you have a group in the WWE made up of guys using phrases, euphemisms, motions that guys in the WWE used 15, 20 years ago. Is that going to get them over? Who knows? It got them over in other states because it was almost like a parody. It was a parody of those guys because they weren't in the WWE. And now you also have a Bullet Club without the Young Bucks. I don't make a meatball parm hero without the meatball, Joe. I'm not in the business of doing that. I'm not going to watch Naked Gun 3927 because Leslie Nielsen's not in it, Joe. I'm not going to do that. There are certain things to me that are sacred. The Bullet Club is one of those things. I've been Too Sweet and crotch chopping for years now. And who's going to be in the new Bullet Club? Why don't you put all the idiots in the social outcast table? Why don't you put a bandana on them, have them Too Sweet around on USA Network from 8 to 10 on Thursdays? Sucks. This sucks.
Well, I understand all that. I definitely agree with you as far as... your level of concern in a few different areas. I'll touch on a couple of different things related to that, I guess. So one was at some point later in the afternoon or early evening today, there was a story that I saw, which I think was quickly you know, kind of rebuked, I guess, for lack of a better word, in terms of whether it was legitimate or not. But there was some story that broke where that WWE had purchased the rights to the Bullet Club name. I think it actually stemmed from somebody on Pro Wrestling Tees responding to a comment saying that the Bullet Club stuff had been, you know, licensed and been purchased by WWE. That was, I think, quickly shot down as a legitimate story. So I don't know where that all stands as far as whether they're going to actually be called the Bullet Club in WWE or not. I don't know what that would do. You know, we referenced the turn earlier. So AJ Styles, you know, Kenny Omega turned on AJ Styles the night after, I believe, Wrestle Kingdom. They were in a tag match and Omega got the pin on Nakamura in that match. And then he attacked Styles and the rest of the Bullet Club attacked Styles as well and kind of kicked him out of the group. So my assumption was that the rest of those guys were going to remain in New Japan, obviously, you know, besides Styles, Gallows, and Anderson, as the Bullet Club with Omega as the leader. Then some news also broke this afternoon that Bad Luck Fale and Tama Tonga were looking to leave New Japan. So I don't know if that's true or not, and if that's happening, then what would be left of the Bullet Club in New Japan? So that's kind of up in the air. Like, go ahead.
Joe, sorry, not to cut you off, but that is all news to me. I haven't put on a website today. I like to be surprised when we do this show. Losing Bad Luck Fale, you know, memory serves me correct. He was, like, the first member of the Bullet Club because he came in as Prince Devitt's hired gun, security guard. So I can't imagine Fale and Tama Tonga looks just like Roman Reigns. So you could have him do Undertaker versus Undertaker from the 94 Survivor Series if you want to do that. Bad Luck Fale is probably going to get over because he looks like a lighter-skinned Mabel. I don't know. I don't understand anything about the entire landscape of professional wrestling anymore. I really don't. So now what you're going to have if you have those two guys leave, you have Kenny Omega and the Bucks. And Yujiro Takahashi. And hold on. Censoring myself. You have and Jeff Jarrett and Scott D'Amore. This is the worst thing to happen to the Bullet Club. Jeff Jarrett.
I don't know if that's what the deal is or what's happening. This is just some stuff that I saw on some dirt sheets a couple hours ago. So I guess that'll kind of also play into how things go. And you referenced earlier the Finn Balor connection, obviously, and he was the original leader of the Bullet Club in New Japan. And now he's in WWE. There was some stuff, it's just speculation, obviously, that I had been reading where, you know, are they bringing these guys in to recreate a version of it and they would just kind of be, you know, where Balor would maybe be the leader of that group and Styles would be in it with him along with Gallows and Anderson. They'd have their own kind of version of it in whether it's NXT or wherever it might be. I don't know if that'll be the case. I would like to hope that at least with Anderson and Gallows, they would keep them together as a team. Splitting those guys up, I feel like, would not really do either of them any favors because, like you said, Gallows had his run there before. They're just probably better off as a team. My main concern with Styles and Nakamura, I guess I'll put them together, is their ability to cut promos. I feel like Styles he's okay at his promos, but I would not call it his strength. Obviously, his in-ring stuff and all that type of stuff is his strength. So I feel like his promos are probably not where WWE would want them to be for a guy, you know, if we're guys like, you know, you and me are looking for him to be a main event level guy. And then Nakamura, you would have to tell me because I know you had a lengthy conversation with him in Brooklyn last summer. I don't know how good his English is and how well he speaks it, but I fear that he's going to turn into, you know, the stereotypical Japanese guy. Like, I don't want him to be Kenzo Suzuki 2 months when he wrestles. You know what I mean? So that's the part, I guess, that I'm worried about with those guys in terms of getting their promo and speaking abilities over. Because if you can't really talk and you're not, you know, built like Roman Reigns, they're not going to probably give you that opportunity, like you said, because of, you know, style, size, and these guys are both in their mid to late 30s as well. So that's where I get worried with those two specifically. I'm sure they'll work with them on it, but if Styles can't cut a main event promo, he's probably not going to be WWE champion at any point in time. So that's kind of where I worry about those guys in WWE, wherever they wind up, you know?
Yeah. Styles, he's not a good promo guy. That's the long and short of it. And he's not going to sit there and he's not going to give you 15 minutes to open the show. But you know what? Roman Reigns is not a good promo guy. Roman Reigns is not good on the mic. Seth Rollins, he... Man, I'm getting so tight. Seth Rollins is below average on the mic. He was... I think he was terrible. He's gotten slightly better. AJ's what? He's 37 years old, 38? He's the same age as Cena, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. I don't want to say it's too late. Because it's not too late because AJ, he was an X Division guy, but as he got older, he became a better professional wrestler because he didn't rely so heavy on spots, and he told such a better story, and he was able to wrestle with the heavyweights. So that's why it was so believable because he worked a submission based style, but he still has his high flying in there, and he does have a little bit of the strong style too. So AJ can do it all, but nobody gives a shit if you could do it all, and all you have to do is sell a Superman punch. You could put him in the main event picture, and you're not going to put him in the main event picture based on his name alone for two reasons. A, because he's not Sting. Sting is the only guy I can think of in the last 5 years or so that has been brought in directly to the main event because of his notoriety from other companies. And two, because the WWE does not do anything in terms of acknowledging other promotions. You know, when they brought in Hideo Itami, all they said was, this is Kenta. They didn't, I remember when he came out and he had the generic Asian Titantron, like, you're not doing these guys any favors by not acknowledging where they've been. So you're going to bring in AJ Styles, a almost middle-aged guy from down south with a couple of tattoos and a Bieber haircut, who can go for 35, 40 minutes in the ring straight, but he can't put himself over in a 20-minute promo to grip the audience's attention. So you're not going to believe him in. If you're not going to even bring him in NXT, I think that's a huge mistake too. At the same time, he's, you know, like we said, he's older, so how long would he be in NXT? Excuse me. Like Samoa Joe is not the best promo guy either, but at least you're giving him a platform in NXT to establish himself, have some good matches, get him, you know, get the people behind him, and then go to the main roster. If you put over Styles in NXT, the crowd will go absolutely bananas. The crowd will go crazy. But you bring him out on Raw, Joe, if you bring AJ Styles out on Raw next week, what percent of the crowd is going to know who he is?
I mean, I would think it's 5% or less, I would say.
And Nakamura, 1%.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I mean,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that people, everyone's kind of talking about it, right? So with the news breaking and people were suggesting that maybe AJ Styles and or Nakamura would appear as an entrant in the Royal Rumble, right, in a couple of weeks as a surprise. And, you know, like to your point, you know, that show's in Orlando, which I guess technically, as Brian pointed out to me, which I didn't realize, you know, I didn't remember, that's the, you know, I guess the central hub of TNA. You know, whether that will impact the reaction that Styles would get, you know, maybe a little bit, but
nice.
I don't, but, you know.
Nice term impact.
Yes. But, yeah, but like you said, I don't think, like if Nakamura walked out as a surprise entrance, I don't think he's going to get a huge pop. Like, it's just not, no one's going to know who he is. So, unless there's some backstory or explanation, those guys probably should start in NXT and you at least get a, when you start in NXT and like Samoa Joe did and you get the reaction that he did because people down there know who he is, at least that way when he comes up to the main roster, he's got that following in NXT, because then maybe you have some WWE main roster fans that do watch NXT and then they'll know who these guys are. But if you just bring them up like now, like you said, right straight to the main roster, most of the audience is not going to know who these guys are, and unless they treat them as something really special, it's going to be a struggle for them to get over and get to that main event level like we expect them to be at.
But, you know, a lot of this is going to fall on the announcers, too. You need the announcers, if that's the way they're going to do it, to put these guys over. You know, you need the announcers to pull a Tony Schiavone in 96 when Luger walked out. You know, you need these people to be excited. You know, instead of who was it that brought in Hideo Itami? I completely forget. Who was that?
That brought Itami in?
Yeah. And said it was his friend Hideo Itami.
Was it Regal? Or no? I thought Regal introduced him, but maybe I don't remember. Because Tommy was kind of teaming with somebody, right, when he first started. Was it Balor or no?
Yeah, it might have been Balor.
Yeah, I think it was Balor. Yeah.
Yeah, forgive me for not remembering, but like, you know, you had Balor put him over in the ring, but then the announcer was like, okay, here's the deal with Tommy. He's in. Now, like, you can't. I'm not going to be excited if you're not telling me to be excited. I think I told you, and I'll go into a quick spiel about how I would. If you want Nakamura to be over in the WWE, here is what you do. You have him come out at whatever pay-per-view Brock Lesnar is going to be at. Or, you know, ideally this would have been done at that whole that Japan show last year they did. But you have Nakamura come out, and you have him cost Brock Lesnar a match. The announcers at that point need to go wild saying, oh my God, this is New Japan Pro Wrestling's Nakamura, they're Intercontinental Champion, King of Strong Style, highly sought after free agent. You need them to sell him like he is the next, he's a sliced bread. Then you have a program with him and Lesnar culminating in a match, which they actually did wrestle in 2006, the IWGP title. You could say Nakamura was mad. He was a young wrestler back then. Lesnar got the win. He's been harboring feelings ever since. XYZ, go to Mania. You have Nakamura go over at Mania with the help of Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman then becomes the mouthpiece for Nakamura. You have a late 80s NWA Great Muda Gary Hart sort of thing where Gary Hart is the mouthpiece. He could talk. Muda can talk. I mean, Muda could talk a little bit, but Nakamura can talk as well, so they don't have to handle 100% of the promo skills. But you have a guy like Paul Heyman to help, you know, I would say connect with the fans and connect with the feud. That's the only way, personally, I could see Nakamura getting over.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a main event level push, right? I mean, that's, you put him in there with basically arguably their biggest star with Lesnar, right? It's either Lesnar or Cena, really, at this point. So you stick him in there with him and you align him with Paul Heyman. I mean, that's, if you really want to go all the way with a guy, that's the way to do it.
You have to think, if he's going to leave New Japan, you have to think they're throwing a boatload of money at him.
I would think so, because as far as I understood, guys like him and AJ Styles made good money working in New Japan and then, you know, ROH in the Indies in the United States, whatever they would do there. So they would have had to throw a good amount of money or give them a good solid contract to get them to make the jump, I would think. So yeah,
now,
I mean,
AJ Styles is a huge, you know, he's a huge family man. Do you think he would commit to a WWE contract if it was a full-time main roster deal?
He might, you know, I don't know what his focus and his goals are. I mean, I remember reading an interview with him maybe done a couple months back where, you know, it was out there that he was, you know, his contracts were coming up as far as ROH and New Japan. Like, as far as I understood, his New Japan, he didn't have a New Japan contract. He was just working dates right now. So someone asked him, I guess, if he would consider going to NXT or something like that. And I think his answer was he was just going to do what was best for his family in terms of financials and things like that. So if that's, you know, if they offered him, I don't know, double whatever he was making or something, you know, maybe to him, that's the most money he's made in his career. And he's going to go ahead and do it for a year or two or three or whatever it was they signed him for. And, you know, maybe he banks a lot of money and helps support his family and just kind of goes on the road for a year or two. I don't know. I don't know what the state of his family is like. I know he's got a lot of kids. So, but maybe he'll do it. I don't know. I mean, if it's NXT, obviously that's less dates that he would have to work. So if that's where he's going to go, maybe that's what it is. But if they go to the main roster, then it's like you said, they're probably going to be working like 250, 300 dates a year or whatever the standard is now.
Yeah, and I just don't see him, you know, especially at that age, want to be away from the family that long. But, you know, what do I know? I could be wrong. And, I mean, you have Gallows and Anderson. If they're not part of the Bullet Club and you're just bringing them in as a tag team, they're not going to last. There's no – I can't imagine what they – you're right, bringing them over singles would be terrible. I mean – Anderson can get over, but what, he's a generic guy who looks like Dash and Dawson. You know, honestly, these guys are going to be Dash and Dawson 2.0 to some people. And it's not the case because they've been doing it a lot longer. Dash and Dawson, are they better? Are they worse? I don't know. But you better have something very, very interesting to bring these guys up if you're not going to make them part of the Bullet Club. Because not having the Young Bucks in the Bullet Club is just, like, honestly, just a slap in the face. You know, you've seen as well as I did when the Young Bucks come out at a Ring of Honor show, wherever it might be. You know, everybody's getting too sweeted. You know, they come out to the Bullet Club music, the roof, you know, the roof blows off the place. And I wonder where that kind of leaves them, if they're just going to make them, you know, if they're going to be like a generic tag team in New Japan. I mean, you're not going to be seeing much more Bullet Club stuff than in Ring of Honor either. And I will say this, though, for the turn and what they did with Kenny Omega, I thought that was making chicken salad out of chicken poop. I thought that was a great, great job. It told a great story. You know, Omega pretty much came out and he said, you know, AJ, you were our leader. You were the superstar. You got paid the big bucks. You couldn't win the big matches. And then he said he was only a super junior because of AJ, and now he's going to enter, you know, the heavyweight division. So it was the best way to do it. Hopefully, you know, Kenny Omega, if you watch that promo, you say this is a guy that can cut a promo, and he definitely has the skills in the ring, so I really feel like he's going to take the ball and run with it. I just hope he's, you know, it wasn't too little too late, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, so like you said, we'll have to see how it all plays out. There's a lot of implications, you know, in different areas as far as the New Japan, you know, version of the Bullet Club and how it works. You know, maybe it'll be a positive thing for Omega, and we'll see how that goes. And then ROH is going to lose some guys as far as just guys that kind of came in and did one shots or certain dates, like Styles and Nakamura. You know, Anderson and Gallows occasionally would be there as well. And then we'll see how they do it in WWE. Like you said, it would be silly, I think, for them to either not align these guys with Balor or introduce them and have them turn on Balor, you know, the first night or something like that, and acknowledge that history interaction. So we'll see. I don't know when these guys are all coming. I know, you know, Nakamura's got to probably lose his championship in New Japan before he can come over. You know, Styles, Anderson, and Gallows, I'm not sure what the deal is. It could be later this month. It could be WrestleMania or after. We'll have to see how that all plays out.
My assumption is Omega will be taking the strap from Nakamura, but
it seems like they're definitely heading in that direction, and that would make a lot of sense, especially since Nakamura's got to drop it before he leaves. So that would definitely make a lot of sense. You know, the other thing I wanted to, I guess, get your thoughts on and bring up was, you know, so last night, I don't know exactly where it all broke. So I'm going to say that I'm going to give credit to our own BK and say that he broke the story on the internet of the John Cena shoulder injury, which is going to sideline him for, I don't know exactly how long, right? It's probably about 6 months for a normal human. So for John Cena, it'll probably be like 3 months. But so that was kind of unexpected since he just came back from a hiatus a couple of weeks ago. And now he's seemingly going to be out for 4 to 6 months at least. And we'll probably be missing WrestleMania along with guys like Randy Orton and Seth Rollins and whatnot. So that has some pretty significant impacts in a couple different ways. Obviously, their main guy is seen as, you know, in terms of merchandise sales and featuring on Raw, and he's been their kind of their top guy for a really long time. And then how it impacts the WrestleMania card, which we didn't really know what was going to happen with a lot of the main event guys, but the suspicion was that Cena was going to maybe wrestle Undertaker. At least that was an option, if not Reigns or something along those lines. He was going to be in a main. Obviously, he was going to be in a main event level feud for the biggest show of the year in Dallas. So I guess, what do you think this does for the WrestleMania card and the main event scene and with some of these other guys, you know, Cena not being there, maybe give some other guys some opportunities? Like, what do you think happens as far as an impact on WWE, the main roster stuff right now because of his injury?
Well, I'll tell you this. Seth sent me a text message and he said, crazy stat he just read. All the champs of WrestleMania 31 are out right now. Rollins, Cena, Daniel Bryan, Nikki Bella, Kid and Cesaro. all of them are out with an injury. So what does that tell me, Joe? That tells me you would think it would be the right time to pull the trigger on some of the ideas that I'm sure Triple H has had. You've got a lot of free time on your shows now without John Cena. That literally is, what, 45 minutes a show? You know, Rollins is, between Rollins and Cena, you're looking at 45 minutes in a three-hour Raw that is open. You would think that would open the door for some of the younger guys, the Dean Ambroses, the Kevin Owens. But I really don't know. I really wasn't buying any of the rumored card for WrestleMania yet. I guess it makes the Royal Rumble all that more impactful. Now you have that stupid, if Reigns doesn't win the Rumble, did we ever figure out what happened? If he doesn't win the Rumble, whoever wins the Rumble gets the title? Is that how it works?
Yeah, as far as I know, or I can tell, it's basically, you know, like in 92, right, the title was vacant, and the winner of the Rumble was the champion. So I think it's a similar situation here. You know, he's going into the Rumble as the champ. If he doesn't win, then whoever wins the Rumble will be the new champion.
All right, so I don't know. Are we going to get Lesnar Reigns too?
Well, I think that was – so the rumored, you know, top matches for Mania, at least the ones that I had heard, was Cena, Undertaker, and then Reigns and Lesnar. Now, I don't know how they were going to get there, how they were going to – you know, how they were going to lead into that. That I don't know. If that was the case, those are going to be the top matches. What I don't know exactly is – because certainly they're on TV, they're driving towards Reigns and Triple H, right? That match is going to happen at some point. We thought maybe it would happen at the Rumble. It doesn't look like that's going to happen now that Reigns has to defend his title in the Rumble. So maybe that'll be a WrestleMania match, and it'll be Reigns Triple H, whether it's for the title or not. But that's the only one I can think of off the top of my head right now that makes sense as far as where they're going and you know, for one of the main matches. Now, where that leaves Lesnar and Undertaker, I don't know. You know, The Rock is appearing on the show. It's not been made clear about if he's wrestling or not. I know originally the thought was he was not going to wrestle because he had a movie schedule or something like that, and he wasn't going to be able to do it. Now he's showing up at that show, but we don't know what he's doing. So maybe he's a possibility of somebody that can wrestle a match at that level. I don't know. I don't know what they do with Undertaker. I don't know what they do with Lesnar if you don't put him with Reigns. Cena not being there, it leaves a gigantic hole in putting a main level match. So like you said, they're going to have to elevate, you know, one of these other guys that, you know, besides Roman Reigns, right? You got to put somebody else in one of these main event level spots against a major star. You got to have a big time match and the biggest show of the year. I don't know who that's going to be. You know, I know Brian has suggested it should be Kevin Owens. I mean, I'm certainly on board with that. Hopefully they give him that opportunity, but I don't know where else they go. If they got to start putting some of these guys in there, because if they don't, then, it's going to be kind of a weak card.
Yeah, and to have that on, you know, you can't not have some direction going into WrestleMania Royal Rumble, right? I mean, that's really what, you know, in previous years, you kind of knew what you were going to get with the WrestleMania card. And, like, that's, you know, it's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing to have some surprises, but you want to at least have an idea of what you're looking at for WrestleMania because, you know, you got to sell tickets for it, too. I don't know. How bad does the WWE need CM Punk or Daniel Bryan right now?
Yeah, I mean, having those guys would be pretty huge at this stage of the game. It just doesn't seem like they're going to let Daniel Bryan come back and wrestle really anymore. I don't. If he's been cleared by like his own doctor, but the WWE doctor won't clear him, right? So I don't know that they're going to all of a sudden just say, oh yeah, we're going to let you wrestle now because now we're really desperate for main event stars. I mean, hopefully he's healthy enough to do it. I just don't know if the WWE is going to let him do it.
I was just reading, I don't know when it happened, but whenever CM Punk was last on Colt Cabana's podcast, he said if he had one more match, he would like it to be against the Young Bucks in PWG. So that should that should tell you where his mind is in regards to pro wrestling. But let me tell you something, not a match that I would hate, Joe.
No, not at all. I mean, I definitely would like to see that. But, yeah, I mean, this is what happens, right? They got themselves into a spot where you haven't really created a lot of, you know, top of the card guys, right? They have Reigns there, so he's the champion, so he's in that spot. But other than that, you know, some of these other guys are going to kind of thrust, I guess, into some feuds, and you know,
Joe,
maybe it's not a bad thing.
Have ruined more people than they have made this year. They everybody that was somebody, they have managed to absolutely destroy. Sheamus, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he's become a complete joke. Rusev, he's just toiling around in obscurity with the rest of the league of whatever the shit it's called. You have, it's just such, honestly, I really think it's such a bad time to be a WWE fan. You've expressed sincere, you know, disdain for the product right now. Jay Osaka News said he hasn't been this low on the product in a while. He's also not a very big Roman Reigns guy. You have, like, three shining stars right now. You have Kevin Owens, for better or for worse. You have Dean Ambrose, depending on what he's doing. And you have another guy who should be main eventing everything, who's just sitting around doing nothing, and you have Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt might be the answer to every question we've asked about a main event match at WrestleMania, but you have dumbed down the Wyatt family and his characters to the point where he is an enhancement talent in the prime of his career. The best heel they have, who doesn't need guidance, can put on average to above average matches and can talk circles around some of the best promo guys of all time, and you have Bray Wyatt doing what? I don't even know what the last thing he did was. He wasn't Raw from the Barclays Center, was supposed to be one of the biggest Raws of the year, the last Raw of 2015, he wasn't even on the show. Now you have the Wyatt family coming out, beating up, who was it, Big Show? Was it Big Show on Raw? Was that, or Ryback?
I think it was it was Big Show Ryback match, and they ended up attacking Big Show pretty quickly into it.
Kudos. You've got no heel in the main event picture with Seth Rollins out. You've got Sheamus, who held the title for 3 weeks. You have nobody that I care about on the WWE roster right now that's a main event. Your biggest heel is Stephanie McMahon. That's a problem. Get Stephanie out of the way. Get all that other shit out of the way. Push Bray Wyatt. Bring back Sami Zayn. Put him on the main card. Have Dean Ambrose. Your WrestleMania should be focused around Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens, Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns, something to do with those four guys. The Undertaker you're going to have, of course, but you don't have your three of your top five stars. You're out Rollins, you're out Cena, and you're out Randy Orton. What are you going to do? This is the year of a shift in the business, because if this business does not shift, I cannot sit through Monday Night Raw anymore. I can't. I watch it on Fast Forward. I watch maybe 35 minutes. I can't do it. There's no redeeming qualities to the product.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. They're in a tough spot. And, you know, like you said, I definitely agree with you. And I know Brian would as well, as everything you said about Bray Wyatt. I was thinking about that today. The last time that I felt like he was, you know, like as a character, that group was hot, you know, and it was 2 years ago around this time, because they had debuted in summer of 2013. So about 6 months in, I believe they kind of feuded with Kane, right? And they had won that. And then he moved on to a feud with Daniel Bryan shortly after that. And Bryan was a very over, you know, popular babyface character at that point. And Bray Wyatt was feuding with him as a, you know, his, you know, coming off a feud that he had won. And then he ended up facing Daniel Bryan. They had the whole thing where, you know, Bryan had joined temporarily and then he left. And then they had the match at the Royal Rumble that year in 2014. And it was a really good match. I think it opened the show. And Bray Wyatt won the match and won the feud. And that was, I think, the last time where I felt like he had a lot of really good positive momentum as a character. And then after that, he moved on to face John Cena at that WrestleMania and lost that feud. you know, last year WrestleMania, he was feuding, you know, quote unquote feuding. I wouldn't even say feuding, because he was basically working the whole angle by himself against Undertaker last year, because Undertaker didn't even show until WrestleMania itself, where he ended up beating Bray clean in the middle anyway. So he's a guy that they have, it's like you said, they have a big wasted opportunity with him. He's good promo. He wrestles good matches. You know, the Wyatt family is an older gimmick, and they just haven't positioned him as such to let him, you know, build up wins. I mean, he should have won the Money in the Bank briefcase by now, or he should have won a world championship by now. And I don't think he's won a singles title since he started. So it's just disappointing that they've kind of dropped the ball with him. And it'd be good to see him get an opportunity to not only be in a main event match at WrestleMania, but maybe be in a match that he can win and kind of put that on his
resume.
I think
the hottest I've seen the Wyatt family was maybe a month ago when the League of Nations were out, and then the Wyatt family came out, and the crowd bought into it. The crowd was going crazy, and that was it. For the WWE to bury the Wyatt family as much as they did, only to have them come out and face off against kind of like the corporation's group of people and still be that over, is a testament to how good the Wyatt family is. I don't see the build up this year. I know The Rock's gonna be at WrestleMania. I don't care. I'm done with The Rock. Lesnar is gonna be at WrestleMania. He'll probably be at your Royal Rumble, but you don't have that compelling. What's the main event feud right now? It's Stephanie McMahon versus Roman Reigns. That's the problem, you know? Like, that is your biggest problem. And until you're able to fix that, until you're able to pull people into the main event, you know, people aren't going to be enjoying Raw. They really did it. They shot themselves in the foot by the 50-50 booking that you always call it, because just when you're starting to get emotionally invested in the guy, let's use the perennial 50-50, you know, Dolph Ziggler. On Monday night, he loses to Heath Slater. Heath Slater got a clean pinfall over Dolph Ziggler. And tonight on SmackDown, I'm not going to ruin it because it's 10:08 and it's over. Dolph Ziggler was the last man standing in a 5-on-5 match, and then he turns heel on R-Truth, and he stares at Neville. What Dolph Ziggler, you're not fooling me that 3 days ago he just got pinned by Heath Slater. So why do I care that he had a hissy fit and he super kicked R-Truth? You know, where is that going to go? Brian seems to, you know, had a really good idea. We could do a program with Neville and The Miz, and, you know, he could maybe unwillingly Neville joins and they'd be a tag team or something like that. That's cool. You know why that's cool? Because that's different. That's something I haven't seen already. But unless you're going to, you know, unless you're bringing over the Bullet Club and you're in, actually, you know, it's 10 o'clock. The taping's probably over. I'm interested to see. I know they said they were going to bring up some new guys to NXT tonight. Unless you're going to, you know, have an influx of talent to NXT and real quick bring up a lot of the NXT talent to Monday Night Raw and the quote-unquote the big show, the only interest I have right now this year in wrestling is to see who's a surprise entrant in the Rumble. And that's really where I'm peaking right now.
Well, I can tell you one person who debuted at the NXT tapings tonight. Would you like me to spoil it for you, or do you want me to keep it under wraps?
No, you can spoil it for me.
Looks like your friend, Rich Swann, appeared on the NXT tapings tonight. So I don't know if you consider that major or not, but obviously, you know, we're familiar with Rich Swann from PWG and some of the Evolve shows. So he apparently appeared at the tapings tonight and is set to face Baron Corbin on a later episode.
Yeah, and there's no way in the bluest of hell Baron Corbin is going to put over Rich Swann.
If he comes out to our theme song, then I'll give him a chance.
He's on my bad list right now. Rich Swann,
the whole incident,
yeah,
that we had. Okay.
Rich Swann called me a racist. I'm not a rapist, Joe. What was that Mike Tyson line? He's like, he called me a rapist and a recluse. I'm not a recluse. I don't have the Mike Tyson charisma to pull that off, but yeah, Rich Swann, he called me a racist because I I was just singing I said the New Day song, and he yelled at me. And guess what? Rich Swann, a couple weeks later, there he is in NXT. I can't wait till he debuts in New Day, Joe. I can't. I seriously can't wait. I'm going to tweet him. I'm going to let him. I book this. Oh, just as I'm reading right now. Super Show for Evolve in the Evolve WWN Super Show Mercury Rising 2016. Oh, Terry Funk. That's what we need, Joe. More Terry Funk.
Well, we don't need less Terry Funk.
When is Royal Rumble? Next weekend? The weekend after?
I think it's two weekends from now. It's the same weekend as the NFC and AFC title game in football. So it won't be this weekend or next weekend, but it'll be the following weekend. So probably 2 weeks from this coming Sunday.
Okay. Well, pilot for NXT Kids being filmed at NXT taping. Interesting. Flyers for Evolve events given out at NXT taping. Gable and Jordan get a team name, and Dudley Boys split being discussed.
Is this a wrestling news site, News with a Z, that's giving you all that information?
No, it's 411 Mania. Close enough, though.
Okay. Well, yeah, so that's, some interesting happens. At least we'll see what happens in NXT. I mean, I think that's the spot to watch right now, obviously, and then the Rumble coming up in a couple of weeks, like you mentioned. I don't know what kind of surprises or what they're going to do with that, but at least there's some extra juice around the Rumble match itself this year. It's not just for the standard title shot. It's actually for the WWE Championship. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
It's going to be a real... That's when Roman Reigns wins.
Yeah. We had about 3 minutes left in the show. Is there anything else that you wanted to get off your chest before we sign off for this week?
No, I think I've pretty much cut enough promos this week. Wrestling Inc. reports that WWE filed matches for the pilot of WWE's planned NXT Kids show that was previously revealed. The matches saw Big Show face Heath Slater and Natalya battle Becky Lynch. Oh, superfan... Bailey superfan Izzy was featured in the filming with a group of children and interviewed Big Show.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. I fell asleep while you were describing the content of that show. I'm not going to lie to you. I just woke up.
Sweet mother of mercy, Joe. You know what I heard? I heard last night was a really good episode of Ring of Honor. So I'm going to watch that today.
All right. That sounds like a win. Can't go wrong with Ring of Honor, right? So maybe
And Gable and Jordan's team name is American Alpha.
Okay. I can get on board with that, I think. Anything that involves breakout star Chad Gable, I'm a fan of.
Shooter McGable Gavin, we can call him.
There you go, buddy. So, all right, well, I mean, listen, a lot of things happened the first week of the new year. Things kind of took a little bit of a lull towards the holidays, and now they're off with a bang for 2016 with these guys from New Japan kind of coming over and John Cena's injury and WrestleMania. So we got a lot going on, man. Things are going to get pretty interesting here real quick.
I have a headache, Joe.
I apologize, buddy. All right, well, I guess if that's it, pal, I guess we'll sign off. So this is it for this week. Hopefully everybody enjoyed listening to the latest episode. Where can they find us, Mikey?
Find us on Facebook at All Night Wrestling Long. That's where I'm at, Joe. All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. Twitter at All Night Long WP, Instagram at All Night Long WP, and we've got some other stuff in the works, so stay tuned. We're coming nationwide.
We're coming full force at everybody, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, you can sign me to NXT.
It's going to happen. All right, buddy, well, I guess I'll steal your line this week. So I am the Stallion, and he is the Enforcer, and we are tapping out.